Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
Okay, so we're standing at the trailhead for the Kilauea Iki
Trail,
which is the thing that brings you down into the...
across the caldera, basically.
The caldera. Meaning like the area of land that has been made on top of what was once an active lava flow.
Thanks, dictionary.com.
That's what I just came up with right now.
Right.
DustinBallardChinnery.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're standing by parking lot,
but it's no longer in use. So, some of the EK Trail, you used to be able to loop, you would be able to go through the crater and then come back up and loop around onto Crater Rim Road or onto the Crater Rim Trail. And that, because of the eruption last year, is no longer possible.
Yes. Yeah, so we won't be able to make a loop. It's going to be a there and back. And we're about to get started.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park. At the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
Welcome to Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, where we explore the trails of America's national parks.
One trail, one park at a time.
In our last episode, we traveled to Hawaii Volcanoes on Big Island, Hawaii. Here we spent the first part of our day on the Sulphur Banks Trail, the Crater Rim Trail, and the Halemaumau Trail.
It was our first day in Hawaii.
We hit the trails right away.
Right. At the end of our last episode, we finished the Halemaumau Trail. We came back up. That still brought us to like roughly right near the visitor center. We looked at the map and we decided that we wanted to explore the only trail currently that leads you through a crater in Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Now, I do think when we were there, we did keep referring to this crater that we were walking over as the caldera.
Right.
And I think that's a little inaccurate, actually. Yeah. We were crossing the Kilauea Iki crater, but we did sometimes refer to it as the Kilauea Iki caldera. But it is a crater.
Yeah.
And what is the difference between a crater and a caldera?
So a crater is a vent for volcanic activity. A caldera is a larger type of crater that's either formed through volcanic activity or collapse.
And so we were on our way to do the Kilauea Iki Crater Trail, but it's called the Kilauea Iki Trail.
Mm-hmm.
With all of the closures, it looked to be about 2 miles and some change. But the park ranger had mentioned that it might take a while, like almost 4 hours.
Yeah, there was that like little bit of concern there. And I think we both looked at each other like, I don't think it's really going to take us that long to do that. But the park rangers are really great sources of information. The shame of the closures was that the EK Crater Trail is actually like a loop. It would actually have been a loop. But we could have connected to the Waldron Ledge and the Crater Rim Trail on that like offshoot there. So there would have been more of a connection. But because of those closures, we were kind of forced to go there and back on this trail too.
Right. So we left the visitor center and we had to get in the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had to drive.
We drove to the parking area for the Kilauea EQ Trail.
Actually, it was an alternate parking area because actually had to hike a little bit down to like where the actual technical air quotes trailhead is, but because there were closures, because like I think that parking area was damaged. If you remember when we hiked there, there was a lot of cones and things that were up. We actually hiked, I think, a good 15 minutes or so before we actually got to that parking
lot. Basically an additional mile there. Yeah. Now, once we started making our way down, we were back in gorgeous, beautiful rainforest.
Right.
It was really picturesque. It was a little hotter and a little more humidity here.
Yeah.
Once you descended, you had to do like a bit of switchbacks.
Yeah.
Before it like would spit you out onto the crater.
One of the cool things too was like right when we got out of the car and started on the trail, you have a pretty good view into the crater itself, even from that kind of ledge of the parking lot. But the further you go out on that trail before you hit the next parking lot, which is the technical trailhead, along the way, you're actually seeing into the crater. And the cool thing is that you're high up, but you can still see people crossing the crater. And even though you could see the people, there was still like a very clearly worn path, like where the hardened magma, the rock was worn away. So it was a little lighter. So you could kind of actually see the trail from above without even having to see the people, which was really neat.
Looking at it from up there, I definitely was like, oh, this doesn't seem that like it's terribly far.
No.
Like you don't have to go that far out there for this. But I do feel like this trail did pack some surprises.
So we're on these switchbacks and, it's just like beautiful rainforest on all sides of these switchbacks.
Right. So we're anticipating it being a really fun time for us on the way back up.
So much fun.
So much fun.
We're making our way down toward the
Caldera. And we'll definitely like be reapplying our Elizabethan white face paint makeup / suntan lotion when we get there.
We have this suntan lotion that we picked up at our Airbnb. It is baby suntan lotion, so it works really well, but it definitely like turns your, it's like putting on foundation, like clown white foundation. And we made it down to the surface of the caldera, and there are quite a few people on this trail. Like it looked so much further from up top, and it looks so much shorter now that we're here.
I don't think it's going to take terribly long to cross it, but I mean, there is a little bend up ahead, so maybe we'll be able to. I'm not sure right now.
I'm not sure either. The volunteer park ranger did mention that this could take up to 4 hours. We've made it down here, which is like what feels like the halfway point or a little further. In
15 minutes, 20 minutes.
20 minutes. So we'll see. And that's not moving fast. That's just like the trail wasn't very long.
It was super windy that day, as you can hear in the recording.
So when you first got down, you kind of encounter, it was like larger steps down into the main body of the crater. And the crater itself is like a really incredibly open space. I just remember looking out into the distance and feeling like the walls of the crater didn't really seem that far up. Even though we were standing like right next to one of them, it really wasn't until you got a lot closer to those walls, you were able to kind of tell the height of everything and how far things were. Also, I think it was really hard for us to tell like how cracked the surface of the crater was. Despite the vastness of the crater and the very open space, we could only really see very clearly what was like, I don't know, like 50 yards in front of us. Not a great distance. I just remember being shocked by that as we kind of got closer to these larger, more massive cracks in the earth. I think one of the first things you did was kind of like bend down and like touch the rock too, because it had a very different sort of feel from what we were used to hiking on.
I mean, it was firm, mm-hmm. but it also kind of felt brittle at the right. same time. And so, yeah, that was interesting. I heard someone on this trail say the reason why you don't have pickaxe climbers in Hawaii is that because volcanic rock is so brittle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. We got down to the bottom and there were people like coming back. There were a lot of people that were right behind us or right with us as we were hiking down. It was very crowded down at the base. But once you got out onto the crater itself, things really opened up. So even though you might have been with other people, you felt very small in this very big crater.
Yes. Yeah. It felt very big around right. you. I mean, it felt like you were inside of like a giant bowl.
Yeah.
You know, like at the bottom of it as you were walking across. And it looked really flat mm-hmm. from the rim.
Yeah.
But then inside of it, it was not flat. There was nothing
right.
flat about
it. Wasn't it. I mean, like, it wasn't crazy. There were parts that we couldn't see from the rim that were a little bit more of like undulating terrain. But like that main plain that we kind of passed over in the beginning was flat-ish. Like it wasn't mm-hmm. crazy there.
No,
right
it
away.
Wasn't crazy there. But it's not like...
No, it's not like a paved road by
not
any means.
Or even like a flat path.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
It's like a whole bunch of like flat-ish rocks that have sort of broken apart and are sort of still near each other.
Yeah. We could see that there are these kind of gigantic cairns also persisted here that kind of led you across the fields of the crater. Bigger rock-piled cairns than we were really used to, which typically, like you had said in the last episode, are just a small pile of rocks for the most part.
But this was more like a Cairn pyramid.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I did see there were a couple of people who had like braided some long grass and had
yeah,
like,
or palm.
And palm and had made some like beautiful like crowns and left them at the top of one of these cairns.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was neat.
Yeah.
So we were making our way across the crater and we are following the cairns, which the Hawaiian word for cairn is ahu. So we were following the ahu just straight across the crater. We could see some kind of bend in the trail coming up.
Okay, so we have now hiked across the caldera.
Yeah, it's a lot longer than we thought it was going to be.
Oh my God, so much longer. And not...
The bend, I said, was there was a bend, and we might go beyond it.
There was a bend, and we see where we need to go. And we can see the end. But that trail that we were just... I mean, this... That was not flat or
no.
smooth.
No, not... It looked very different from above.
And there were lots of cracks in the earth. So, cracks I can imagine, like, lava glow would come through if there was any active lava here.
Currently.
But there is not.
No.
Not as of September of 2018.
And with that, let's take a break. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so, you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. This game is called One Letter Change. The way this works is it's a pair of two words. They're just one letter different. And so you have to try and get the person to guess the two words based on a clue.
Yeah, it's fun and very annoying sometimes.
It is. And we played this a lot on this day in Hawaii Volcanoes. Mm-hmm. So Mike, why don't you start us off?
Okay. An angry storm drain.
An angry storm drain.
Mm-hmm.
Is gutter one of the words?
Mm-mm, no.
No. An angry storm drain. Oh, I don't know.
An irate grape.
An irate grape. Yeah. That is very good.
Yeah.
Well done.
It was crafty, right?
That was crafty.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
Okay. Mine is a flame held by Fran Drescher while in character.
A nanny fanny.
No, it is a fine fire.
Oh, there you go.
Because her last name was Fine.
Fran Fine.
Fran Fine.
There you go.
I know, our second Fran Drescher reference here in Hawaii Volcanoes.
Right. She's our new Amy Adams.
For this season, maybe for season two, who she is.
It's Fran Drescher. After walking out on the crater for what is like a seemingly flat trail, eventually you hit this point where things get really topsy-turvy. Before we kind of talk about that, I think one of the things that started to really happen that we started to see that we were unable to see from the rim is the amount of, like, I hesitate to say tectonic shift, but the amount of like earth shift where there were like really big cracks within the crater itself, where there was like rock pushed against rock to create these really interesting earth formations. It looked like very chaotic, even though it was calm right now. And I think from that chaos, the interesting thing was there were these flowering, like red flowering shrubs, like all throughout, like wherever they could kind of get hold in those cracks. And I thought that was like such a beautiful
example of nature's artistry.
Yeah, I think it just goes to show that life does find a way. Thank you, Jeff Goldblum, as Dr. Malcolm.
Yes.
But like it really was such a sharp contrast to this very harsh surrounding area to see this beautiful like red blossom and beautiful plant life kind of coming out of the ground or coming out of the crater. Like I said, the further we got out, things started to kind of get a little topsy-turvy. At this point, there was a family that was kind of hiking along with us. They were a little further back. It was like a mom and dad and like a pretty little kid. Like he was like,
yeah,
I don't
and
know,
they
like
were
five.
Like pretty separated.
They
in
were
like
really
lots
separated.
Of different places. And it was like, I was trusting that they just had eyes on him.
We also did see a family coming back. It was a mom and a dad. There were like two little girls and then there was another baby in like a backpack too. So it's great because I think what you can kind of take away from Hawaii Volcanoes is that this is a really family friendly sort of national park. And the trails, at least the ones that were available to us, are really accessible and really easy to do, especially for people that might like not be able to hike great distances or hike treacherous terrain. Like I do feel
totally.
Like there was a lot of accessibility.
There was a lot of accessibility in that way. I love it when there are kids in national parks. Just get your kids there.
Yeah.
It's the best. And there is this belief that, you know, if you get your infants out in nature, that they will be more connected to nature as adults.
Yeah, it's
and
a beautiful thing.
I
and
think
we need that.
I think we need that. And I think, you know, we, generally speaking, I think we need a bigger connection to nature, like, you know, from
like
the core of ourselves.
like
55 years ago, but or more.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's for another podcast.
That's for another time.
Yeah.
Yes, another episode, another time.
But
this trail at this time was getting, now it was getting a little treacherous.
Yeah.
It never felt dangerous. You have to be very careful where you're placing your foot so that you can make your way through it.
And you're climbing a little bit more too.
Yeah.
Like as opposed to like a relatively flat, like pretty long jaunt across most of the crater.
I also noticed this was a moment a little bit where like you kind of couldn't fully see what the intended trail was. Like, there definitely was like an intended end toward right. the other side, but getting there, it was very gray and very black at times, and you just like, you couldn't really tell which way you should be going.
One other thing that I tended to notice too, because there were a lot of people that were on the trail, and there were a lot of people that were behind us when we were hiking on the trail. I feel like a lot of people got to that point where things started to kind of like that bend, and things started to get a little bit more challenging. And a lot of people were just like, no, I'm going to dip out now. And that's fine. I mean, there nothing ever says you have to hit this terminal point on a trail. There have been plenty of times where, for one reason or another, because we've lost the trail completely due to snow, because we've run into spiders that were the sizes of our faces, that we have definitely just said, thank you for being of service for us today, but we're done. And
exactly.
I think that that is like a beautiful thing to be able to recognize that.
Listen to yourself, but listen to nature.
It was really interesting because there were a lot of people that just were like, nah, I'm okay.
Right. But we did eventually make it to the other side, and we finally got to what would you would consider the end of this trail now, because there was more one could do, but it was blocked off.
Right. It would basically take you up and kind of connect you along the rim of the crater back to the starting point of the second parking lot. But yeah, at this point, NPS had kind of closed that section off.
Yes. But we did sit there and have a snack.
So we're snacking. We made it to the end. We're here. We're overlooking the Kilauea Aiki crater on the end of the Kilauea Aiki trail.
For right now, yeah. Because you can't really continue on the trail from where we're at. Sorry, something was stuck in my throat.
Something usually is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what we're looking at is like, it is a dark gray brown kind of like magma, or like, I guess it's magma. Is that what you would call it?
I am not
a dried
or a volcanologist.
Rock that is like once was lava. Mm-hmm. But the landscape looks a little like what, Mike?
I said it could either be Mordor, or because, you know, all of our references are Lord of the Rings, or like if you were really close up, it kind of looks like it could be like another planet. Because there are some plants that are growing in the out of the volcanic rock. So, yeah.
There are some. I said it looked a little like Land of the Lost, which is a 90s reference for anybody who remembers that. But yeah, we're about to turn around and head back. And I bet it takes us a little bit longer.
It only took us probably like 45 minutes to get out here.
Yeah, 45 minutes. And then, but we're going to have to go uphill to get back to the beginning of the trail.
So magma, according to nationalgeographic.org, magma is extremely hot liquid and semi-liquid rock underneath the Earth's surface.
Okay.
And when magma flows onto the Earth's surface, it is called lava.
Got it.
I mean, I guess that stands to argue that like we never really see magma.
No, unless I mean, unless you're in the movie The Core with Aaron Eckhart and Hilary Swank.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Did you see that movie?
Yeah, of course I
did. Oh, my God. I'm obsessed with that movie.
Hi, I love the weather and all, like, movies related to the weather. Like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm obsessed with that movie. There is this a moment in that movie where they're, like, literally, like, well, I mean, we can't go into the Earth's core.
Right.
And then there's this dramatic pause of, but what if we could?
Yeah.
I know. And it like the whole movie hinges on this like one moment. Anyway.
Well, Stanley Tucci's in it too. So like, you know, me Stanley Tucci or give me death.
Literally. Give me a full ballerina skirt and a saloon and I'm on board. That's right. A Stanley Tucci quote from Devil Wears Prada.
Of course it is.
Anyway.
Yeah. Tell me more about this magma larva.
Okay. So I geek out about volcanoes similarly, but so this is from the United States Geological Survey, and it's a little bit about exactly how hot this Hawaiian volcano was when it erupted. So according to the USGS, the eruption temperature, the lava that came out of the Kilauea crater, when it erupted was about 1,170 degrees Celsius, which is 2,140 degrees Fahrenheit.
Great.
So that's very, very hot.
Yes. It's like the temperature inside of a kiln. Kilns get that hot. I would have thought the lava would have been hotter, actually.
Yeah. So the color of incandescent rock gives a crude estimate of temperature.
Oh,
okay. According to them.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yellow indicates a temperature of about 1,000 to 1,200 degrees Celsius, which is like 1,832 to 2,192 Fahrenheit. Orange indicates a slightly cooler temperature of about 800 to 1,000 degrees Celsius, which is like 1,400 to 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. And red is even cooler at 600 to 800 degrees Celsius, which is like 1,100 to 1,400.
Okay.
The outer surface of erupting lava cools like incredibly quickly when it is first exposed to air. Like it cools like hundreds of degrees per second.
All right. Well, that kind of makes sense though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The USGS.gov is a great resource to learn all about lava. I just watched this video about how they like literally take active lava and like put it in something that like cools it so they can take it and study it, because they have to study the magnesium levels of the lava to see like what's happening below the earth. I geeked out over it.
Yeah, clearly.
So.
Like 1,000% geek out over there.
Yes.
Yeah.
1,000 degrees Celsius.
1,000 degrees Celsius geek out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And with that, let's take another break. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage
Gemma Stone.
Gemma Stone. She sounds like she could be Karen Stone's sister.
She does.
The House of Stone.
And she's a riff on Emma Stone, obviously.
She is a riff on Emma Stone. Oh, just like, I mean, okay, here we have another full intersection of the three. Like, yeah. Karen Stone is the intersection of, like, you know, a real name, a riff on someone else's name, and a pun.
Yeah.
And Gemma Stone is the same.
Yeah.
Oh, Gemma that makes Stone. Sense. Oh,
the
I
House
love
of Stone.
That. The House of Stone is a triple intersection.
Triple intersection.
Yes.
Indeed.
Because people are named Gemma.
Yeah.
So Gemma Stone could absolutely be a real name.
Yeah.
It is a riff on Emma Stone, and it is a pun on Gemstone.
Mm-hmm.
So who is Gemma Stone?
Gemma Stone is, I feel like, a metaphysical queen. She's like into crystals and tarot cards, and she is taking direct inspiration from Stevie Nicks in her wardrobe decisions.
Oh, very interesting. I feel like she has like her looks, she could like erupt right off of a tarot card.
Oh yeah, I think so. Like she's the high priestess for sure, or the empress 100%.
Right. And there's something very cold about and angular about her, the way she like beats her face.
Yeah. Well, I think that like directly relates to, you know, her obsession with the facets, the many facets of different stones themselves. Her act is tailored. So she may like really like dig in deeply into a specific gemstone, like for one act.
I love that.
And like her outfit and her, you know, her song stylings may relate to that.
So like she might be like onyx one show,
yeah.
And then for the next one she might be pyrite,
yeah.
And for the next one citrine. She might be citrine,
yeah. Yeah, so
I love that.
Oh yeah, she's digging deep in there. What song does she sing
or lip sync to?
Yeah,
I think she does Seven Wonders by Stevie Nicks.
Great. Just like the end of Coven. Mm-hmm.
And I think she also like has perhaps like cut into that song like moments of like from like 80s cartoons where like there were witches and mystical characters that like did summoning spells, and she just has all these different things
some
throughout.
Like little Rita Repulsa,
exactly,
like, even though that was like 90s, but
that was
yeah.
90s, but yeah. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, 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 I get
so
you.
Some
I
of
get
that
you
interspersed. Mm-hmm.
What was the song for Gem and the Holograms like?
Here comes gold, glitter and gold, here comes
maybe that's
gold,
her intro music.
Glitter and gold, truly outrageous and beautiful bold. This is the day for glitter and gold.
Yeah, I feel like there's something there for her too.
I think there is too. Yeah. She could do something with that. I mean, Gem and the Holograms has like an enormous catalog of music that is amazing, and I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I used to watch it all the time.
And that's why you are the way you are today.
And that is why I am the way I am.
Right.
It happened one day on a Tuesday afternoon while I was eating Skittles and watching Gem and the Holograms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage
Gemma Stone. So we reached the end of the EK Creator and had kind of just sat to snack. Those rocks were very, very tough to sit on. I remember like it being, the ground was just like craggy and pumicey in like a way, but not soft by any means.
Like,
I just remember hurting when I stood up. Like
if you put your hand on it, it felt like it was very textured.
Yes.
I'll say that. It was textured and maybe even one might call it a little spiky at
places. Yeah, definitely. And so we had finished our snack and we started to make our way back across the pretty craggy section of this hike. Again, we were at a stopping point because the NPS had closed off the rest of the loop trail that would have like brought us back to our car. But because of the eruption in 2018, a lot of the park had kind of been closed for reassessment as far as whether trails should be opened or could be reopened. So we had to kind of make it a there and back hike. So we started our trek back across the crater. And I think really no one at that point was headed out. Like even that family that kind of was hiking with us, they must have turned around at some point. Like they didn't come the full way out. And I feel like crossing that whole craggy section, that was like a little bit more work that we needed to do. I didn't see anybody coming out towards
us. There were some people that had sat down near us to snack, and then I think they were still there when we left. I mean, it didn't take us very long to get out of the craggy section, but it was still, you know, be careful where you put your foot. You want to, the other thing is that staying on the trails is so important for a myriad of reasons. I was really trying to like see, okay, where am I walking? Where is the area that I'm designated to be?
Yeah.
And it was a little hard to see right there in that cracky area.
Yeah. Yeah.
On that crater. But we figured it out and it was what it was.
Yeah.
And that brought us back to the
like
sort
the
of
flatter
big,
section.
Flatter open section.
Yeah.
Which again looks very flat from up top, but in theory.
In
practice, being on the ground, it isn't the flattest.
No.
Sort of, you know.
It is undulating the surface. So it's kind of like you're up and down like little hills here and there.
Right.
It's not anywhere near as up and down, or I would even hesitate to say treacherous, as the section that we were just coming from.
Also remember at this moment in time, there were lots of like, I think we encountered at least two or three like pairs of people who were like, I'm taking selfies inside of a volcano.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Hey guys, I'm here and I'm inside of a volcano.
Yeah.
there was a lot of social media happening all around us in that moment.
And the weather had changed too at this point, because it was like a decently sunny day with a lot of clouds in the sky, and it had pretty much just totally clouded over. I think there was like a threat of rain that day, and I think we even got a little like towards the end. Like, it was definitely like overcast at this point. So I feel like maybe a lot of people were like, yeah, maybe it's not a great idea to cross this giant crater when like we could get dumped on with rain. So...
Right.
Yeah.
But we made our way across this crater.
Yeah.
Headed back to the switchbacks, which I wasn't terribly excited about on the way back up.
I think we were also kind of exhausted, and it really wasn't from the hiking. It was the fact that our bodies were just like, I think it was like 6 o'clock on the East Coast, and it was, you know, whatever it was. So it was noon probably at this time. And I just remember feeling like everything in me was tired and like wanted to die just from the jet lag.
I think, it probably would have been a good idea to do just like a day of adjustment.
Right. But we didn't have that luxury.
We didn't have that luxury. We didn't budget that into the budget. Yeah. We made it across the big open crater, and we headed back to the switchbacks, and we started making our way up, which I thought was going to take us a little while.
Yeah.
But I think we did it a little faster than we thought.
So we just finished up that trail. And how long did that take?
It was like 2 hours flat.
Yeah. It only took us like 20 minutes to get back up the switchbacks.
I was surprised at that.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a little longer.
It was gradual.
It was, it was pretty easy. No sweat.
After we made our way back up to the parking lot, we had to hike that like a half mile back to the car.
Yeah, I think it was like a mile at least. Yeah.
It was a mile?
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a beautiful walk. I just remember it being short.
Yeah.
And so we made our way over to the car.
Yeah. I think we both like called respective, families. It was like, maybe this is a good time to just say hi. And, you know, I think we had texted. You had talked to your mom via FaceTime earlier. Yeah. So
I FaceTimed again and made sure my niece was on the phone so she could see this volcano.
And she thought that's where you lived.
She thought that was where I lived. She was like, that's where you live? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My beautiful niece Sadie thinks that I live in all of these places.
Yeah.
So we did that and then we kept going on this trail, and it was, you know, a beautiful, lovely walk.
Yeah. But that brought us back to the car. The next thing that we had wanted to do, again, the hiking was limited at this point in the park, but we wanted to go down the Devastation Trail and then eventually down the Chain of Craters Road, basically.
The Chain of Craters Road.
So we had to move the car again. So we drove, and it wasn't that far to get to Devastation Trail at that point.
Right. So we go to the parking lot, which was kind of full, but there were some spots still there. So we parked. Now, there are some roads in Hawaii volcanoes that we obviously knew were closed.
Mm-hmm.
But this was called the Devastation Trail. Mm-hmm. So we went to the end of the parking lot to the trail that we saw there. And then we saw our first placard that told us about the Hawaiian state bird.
I think it is important to note right now that we are entering Nene territory. I don't even know if that is how it is pronounced. I could be totally wrong, but I'm hoping it's pronounced Nene territory, which is a type of bird.
The Hawaiian state bird.
The Hawaiian state bird. Mm-hmm. So they tell us all over the place, do not feed them, but we are about to go down the Devastation Trail.
Yeah. Oh, it's round trip. It's only a mile, so it's only a half mile down.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Things we're figuring out right here. It says press button. I did. Nothing happened. Oh, well, there's like a solar panel here on this placard sign. The Devastation Trail is the thing that you walk down to see the remnants of what happened after
an eruption in 1959.
Correct. So that's where we're headed now.
And it is pronounced Nene. And as someone personally who is like obsessed with birds and obsessed with the idea of birding, though I haven't fully done it yet, this was pretty cool because this is the only place in the world to see these birds.
And they're endangered.
And they are endangered.
Yep.
This was the very beginning of the two of us seeing birds and thinking that they were Nene.
Yeah.
But they weren't, in fact.
They were false Nene.
They were false Nene.
Yeah.
Faux Nene.
Faux Nene. Nay, nay, nay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We set off on the trail.
Yeah.
The map was pretty clear about it being a trail because on the map, like, roads look a certain way and trails look another way. Trails are a dotted line. So we're following this trail. What we're seeing on our left is sort of just like, it's sort
kind
of like deserty.
Yeah, but like gravelly, almost gravelly too. Like gravelly desert with like very little plant life. I think there was some signage about the fact that they were trying to reestablish plants in the area. So to like, it was roped off to like not walk on that. There was a very clear trail.
It's a very clear trail.
Yeah.
And so we were like, okay, like we're, you know, walking. Yeah. And then as we keep going, there was a couple that had like a private tour guide with them. And they
were on their honeymoon, I'm pretty sure.
They were, I think. And I was listening in on the tour guide's tour. And we essentially approached the end of this trail.
Right.
And we suddenly find ourselves looking at the Kilauea crater again.
From a different angle.
The Kilauea Iki crater.
Yeah.
We were like, wait, what?
Yeah.
No. And this was, there was a woman there with her four children.
Yes.
Who were so excited about this volcano. And they were like running in a million directions. And I was running with them too. Because I was excited. Right.
You were mentally running with them.
Mentally running with them. I wasn't running
by
any means because I was too tired.
Yeah.
But the energy of these children did definitely give me enough energy to continue on for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But we were standing there and we were like, I don't know. I don't know if this is right.
Well, I think there was like the trail when we had read about it was like start in the parking lot, take the trail, walk, you know, like, and then you'll hit another parking lot and then follow that and you'll end up going down the devastation trail. And I think what happened was we thought we were in the right parking lot. Like if you wanted to, you could do it that way. You could, you could go from one parking lot to the next to down the devastation trail and make the distance of the trail a little bit longer for you. And I think that's what we thought we had done. And we actually were in the middle of where we needed it to be. Like the parking lot we ended up in was like where you would start if you wanted the trail to be long. And then you would head back to the parking lot that we were in and then down the devastation trail. So we totally goofed.
We totally goofed and we had to turn around and figure out what to do next. Before we play some Jeopardy, let's put this hike on the Karen Stone scale.
Great.
The Kilauea Iki Trail, which involves like some switchbacks through the rainforest, a flat sort of open hike across the crater, and then an up and down bumpy,
craggy
trek across another section of the crater.
I'm going to say a 4 or 5. I didn't think it was particularly difficult, but there was like a little bit of challenge when it came to like the switchbacks, even though they were quick, like that added some distance and height that we had to kind of account for. And then getting to that craggy section, you had to be a little bit more thoughtful about what you were doing. So for me, it was like a 4 or 5. What about you?
Let's make a choice.
Okay. I'm going to say a 4 then.
A 4. Okay. I'm going to say a 4 too.
Great.
Yeah. The Libra. I can't choose between which
I'll
one.
I'll oscillate forever.
I'll oscillate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a fan.
That is your middle name.
Yeah. Michael Oscillate Ryan.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I would also give it a 5 because...
A 5?
I would give it a 5 only because the switchbacks on the way up are a little steep.
Yeah.
That's why.
So a 9 out of 20.
A 9 out of 20 on the Karen Stone scale.
All right, it's time for Jeopardy. Dusty, do you want to start us off?
Sure.
Great.
My Jeopardy is called Hawaii in the Movies.
Oh, all right, cool. Let's see.
So you have to guess the film that is set in Hawaii based entirely on a critical Amazon review.
Wonderful.
These are real Amazon reviews lifted directly from Amazon.com. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Hawaii in the Movies for 100. A 14-year-old boy might think this is funny, but it's shallow and stupid. Maybe the Jason Segel nudity was supposed to carry this, but there was literally only one scene in this whole movie that made me laugh. What a waste of time.
What is Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Correct. How could anyone forget that movie?
Right. Or Jason Segel's nudity.
For 200. An insipid film. The jokes cater to those who are either immature or easily amused, and the camera incessantly cuts to wacky animals and groups of children in a desperate, grotesque attempt to sell humor. Here, have a half a dozen shots of a kooky penguin. Here, have a barfing walrus. Here, have a joke about spam. The cookie cutter island setting is shallow as the characters, both intended to be colorful but rather drowning in cliche for lack of substance. And the island soundtrack made me want to stop my ears with a pair of screwdrivers. Not even Drew Barrymore's performance can save this for me.
What is 51st Dates?
That is correct. Hawaii in the movie is for $300. Very slow moving, very predictable, wealthy family in Hawaii with jaded and spoiled kids, beautiful homes overlooking the ocean, etc. Final Catch is basically a denouement. I fail to see how Clooney got nominated for this.
What is The Descendants?
That is correct. Did you write that Amazon review? Because I know you feel that way about that
really
movie.
I really like that movie. Yeah.
I did watch that movie on the plane leaving Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it was there. That's right.
It was there. I think they did.
You got to sell your brand, man.
Yeah, exactly. Hawaii in the movies for $400. Mm-hmm. Totally inaccurate, blatantly using ships that were not even built until the 1960s or 70s as part of the battle scene, totally ruined the movie for me. You would think with all the computer animation that they would have covered up the historical inaccuracies. Bad writing, bad acting, computer graphics that look like cartoons stuck in a live-action movie but without the charm of Ben and Jerry or Gene Kelly.
What is Pearl Harbor?
Correct. Well done. Yeah, you're nailing this.
I know.
And finally, Hawaii in the movies for $500.
Right.
I had no problem with the acting. I was enjoying the movie until that happened. I had already guessed where it was going when the Zahn character suddenly went from a wimp to a tough guy, when the man from the store showed up to give him something left behind. Alas, I continued to watch, hoping vainly that it would not use such cheap tactics. Once it did, I quickly ejected the DVD, for I wasn't going to allow a screenwriter or director to waste another second of my time. I was livid. How dare they pee on my leg and tell me it's raining?
What is 6 days, seven nights?
Incorrect. What is The Perfect Getaway?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Perfect Getaway takes place mostly on Kauai.
Yeah.
And it is about hiking the Kalalau Trail.
Yes.
But it is a thriller.
Yes. All right.
Yes. It was recommended to me by my stepmother. And I loved this movie.
I know.
This person really went hard on this movie, but I really liked it.
Wow.
Here we go.
Here we go.
So that's Hawaii in the movies.
Hawaii in the movies. Okay, my category is called Volcan or Volcant. And it's all about volcano gods.
Oh,
so,
I love that.
All right, ready? Volcan or Volcant for 100. The god Vulcan is associated with flames and metalworking, most often appearing with a hammer in his hand. He also held sway over volcanoes and deserts in this polytheistic religion that definitely wasn't built in a day.
What is Roman?
Yeah, the Roman religion, the Roman pantheon of gods. Great.
Great.
Vulcan or Volcant for 200. The goddess of volcanoes and the hula, Pele is one of the most important deities in the islands of Hawaii. In order to escape her sister, Namaka, she rode to what is now the 50th state from this other tropical destination, the largest island in French Polynesia and a popular honeymoon location.
What is Fiji?
No, Tahiti.
Oh,
what is Tahiti?
Tahiti.
Yeah.
Okay.
Volcan or Volcant for 300. Sakuya Hime, known as the Blossom Princess, a title she stole from you, and the symbol of delicate life on Earth, is the goddess of volcanoes in this eastern island chain nation, also known as the Land of the Rising Sun.
What is Japan?
That is correct. Volcan or Volcant for 400. In Aztec mythology, all fire was created by Zaiuchi Cudley, as he was the god of energy, time, heat, light, and volcanoes. Honored in many ways, ritual sacrifice to him was especially important at the end of this 52-year period when the sacred and solar of these synced up and ended.
Oh, a 52-year period?
Mm-hmm. When the sacred and solar of these synced up and ended.
Okay. I have no idea.
It's a calendar.
Oh, a calendar.
A calendar.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
All right. Last clue. Vulcan or Volcant for 500.
I now really fully understand that last question. Yeah. Great. Okay, great. Thank you.
A skilled metal worker and crafter, Hephaestus, the counterpart to the Roman god Vulcan, was specifically associated with this famous Sicilian volcano that sounds an awful lot like a health insurance provider.
Oh, I don't know. What is that?
What is Mount Etna?
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Etna Insurance.
Got it.
Yeah. Vulcan or Vulcan? I guess you Vulcan.
I guess I Vulcan today. That was a good category, though. This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
To see images from this episode, follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. Contact us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And for a more in-depth look at this park and all the other parks featured on the podcast, visit our website at gazeatthenationalparks.com.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan. All original music is written by Dave Seaman and performed by Dave Seaman, Mariella Klinger, and Sean Sklios. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang. We would like to acknowledge that while hiking in Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, that we were hiking on the traditional lands of the Kanaka Oʻiwi people.
Tune in 2 weeks for our final episode on Hawaii Volcanoes.